And he says, go. I have places for you to go and people for you to see. I have connections for you to make. I want you now to show mercy to others, to the marginalized in your life. Go.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about people who are marginalized, meaning people who are considered outsiders or different by our societies. Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, showing us how Jesus showed mercy for the marginalized. Thanks for listening.
And I want to talk about margins. Margins are the outside edges of the paper where there isn't anything. All the important stuff is in the middle, in that middle body part of the page. The outside edges, that people don't pay attention to that. Those are the margins. And the word margin can even have a negative connotation, as in marginalized. We even have familiar expressions in our society about those people. You know, the undesired, the underprivileged, those people. You know, they live down by the river, on the other side of the tracks, in the backwoods, those people. Today, we're going to hear a story about a man who is marginalized, a man who lived down by the river on the wrong side of the tracks in the backwoods. And we find him, the Bible reports, at the city limits where Jesus was hanging out. And his name is Bartimaeus. And in Jesus' day, the marginalized, they hung out at the edges of the city, at the city limits, much like you drive into the city of Austin and the homeless and the destitute are hanging out on off-ramps of the interstate. Why? Because commuters come by, and when the commuters come by, it gives opportunity for these people to find the help that they need. And Bartimaeus does find help from Jesus, except he finds much, much more. Let me read you his story from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. The Bible says this. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. If you're a Bible reader, how frequent is this? I mean, think about how often it happens that Jesus encounters the marginalized, the blind, the crippled, beggars, widows, prostitutes, those labeled by society. I mean, this happens a lot, wouldn't you say, as you're reading your Bible? Kids, I got a question for you. So kids, if you won $1 million, do you think you'd have any new friends who want you to share that money with them? Absolutely. So you read the Bible, you're reading the Gospels, and it's like Jesus won $1 million, and now everybody's his friend. Everybody's coming to Jesus for a handout. "Jesus, help me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, this. Jesus, that." Why is it that so often Jesus is encountering the marginalized people? Here's why. Jesus encounters frequent marginalized people in his ministry because that's where Jesus hangs out. On the other side of the tracks, down by the river, in the backwoods. Jesus is actually attracted to marginalized people who need his help. He's attracted to them. He's not as attracted to, though he's willing to show mercy to if they wanted, but he's not as attracted to all the self-made people, all the popular people who live in palaces, all the people who have high positions in the city government or in the synagogue, all the pretty people who are primping themselves and filled with life's pleasures, so much so that they don't need Jesus, they're self-made. See, the self-made don't need to borrow money from their brother-in-law. The self-made don't need to move back in with mom and dad. The self-made can do things by themselves, thank you. The self-made don't need a church to surround them with accountability or a small group. The self-made are fine by themselves. The self-made don't need Jesus, the Son of God, to show compassion on them and have pity on them and show them his mercy. The self-made don't need a Savior. But the marginalized, the burdened, the brokenhearted, the confused, the ones cut from the team, the depressed, the dying, the fearful, followers of Jesus who know that they should have more faith, the hurting, the labeled, the lonely. Ah, Jesus is attracted to them because they need him. So let me ask you, which are you? Are you self-made? Or do you live down by the river? On the wrong side of the tracks? In the backwoods? Marginalized? Jesus loves both because Jesus loves everybody, but both of those classes of people don't need Jesus. Think about that. Which are you? All right, we all like to be independent, and independence gives us this sense of affirmation, this sense of achievement. But it can, getting past that threshold where we think we can do it by ourselves, but we really can't, is dangerous for everybody. Is it dangerous for adults as much as it's dangerous for stubborn 2-year-olds or rebellious teens? And it backfires on us when we're so independent and so strong and so achieved that we're self-made. We don't need help and we don't need Jesus. That asking for help from Jesus, that's like a sign of disability. That's like needing a crutch because you're too weak. It's like a dad who refuses to ask directions and a mom who refuses to admit she's overwhelmed. And that, my friends, is being a bit too self-made, a bit too self-righteous, a bit too pressured to feel significant and to be impressive. Not just to others, but to ourselves. And even to Jesus, too. Think about this for a second. Imagine this. Imagine it. It's your best day ever, okay? So you got email inbox to zero. You are wooing all your relationships. You're looking at social media, and there's all these capital letter Ks showing up for thousands of likes. You're rocking the sales quotas. Your lawn is mowed. There's no weeds in your yard. Everything's going great, and you take this whole thing, that greatness, and you give it to Jesus to impress him, and guess what? He's not impressed. He doesn't want to be impressed. Because even your best isn't good enough for holiness and perfection and for earning God's favor on your own. He doesn't want your best in that sense, in how you give it to him to impress him, because your best can't be your Savior. Only Jesus can be your Savior. Picture for a second this, thinking about margins again, and the edge of the paper, outside of the paper. Not the middle part, not where the words are, or the headlines are, but the outside. Jesus doesn't want to meet you in the headlines. He wants to meet you in the margins. It's like a kid bringing a piece of paper to mom and dad, and they've colored on it, and they've just gone everywhere. They have not stayed in the lines, and they bring it to mom and dad, and mom and dad, what do? You look at that and you say, oh, that's awesome. Thank you for coloring that picture. And you don't care that they didn't stay in the lines. This is not a piece of Picasso. This is your kids, and they give it to you as this gift, and that's where Jesus wants to meet you, outside the lines. He wants your messes and your mistakes and your failures. And that's where he can save you. That's where Bartimaeus met him. Bartimaeus did not try to impress Jesus. He did not try to pretend that he was this man of significance. Bartimaeus is a blind man. He was marginalized, especially in the society of that day. And all he did was ask Jesus for mercy. Verse 48, he shouted, "All the more, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's what attracts Jesus. And Bartimaeus was healed, not because he was strong, not because he was so smart, not because he had it all together, not because he was the perfect mom or the providing dad. Did you catch why he was healed? Jesus said it. Jesus looks at him, this blind man who lived down by the river on the wrong side of the tracks in the backwoods, and said, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." Bartimaeus put his trust in Jesus. Because Jesus is merciful, because Jesus is compassionate, because Jesus is present. Can you trust Jesus too? Because he's merciful to you just the same. He doesn't make you earn his approval. We sing in that classic Christian hymn, Rock of Ages. That line, my favorite line in that hymn is, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Mercy. And compassionate, Jesus, there's this, that Greek word for that is just revealing. In the culture of Jesus' day, that compassion wasn't in your heart, it was in your bowels. In your intestines. And so there's a word that used to describe that, and it's used to describe Jesus often, saying his intestines were moved, they were stirring. That means in those days, his heart was going out to people. I was walking into Academy yesterday to buy a canopy, a tent canopy, and I'm walking from the parking lot into Academy, and I'm looking at the front doors and scoping them out. I'm going to make my way in, and I notice on the left side, there's this mom there on her hands and knees with some half-disassembled patio chairs, and her car's running, and the hazard lights are on. And I hear a baby crying in the back of our car, and I'm passing her, and I'm like, wow, this doesn't make sense. It's just not right. So I just had to stop. That scene was just begging for someone to help. And so I said, do you need help? And she looked up at me like, I don't know. And here's the problem, was she had her car and she was trying to disassemble the chairs that she had just bought because they didn't fit in her car. And I'm not a mechanic, I'm not a really a handyman, but I could tell I don't think the chairs were supposed to be disassembled. But she had a wrench and she was, God bless her, she was doing it and doing it well. And we ended up just getting the chairs into her trunk, and I gave her a bungee cord, and it fit. By God's doing, it was perfect. It fit just right, so it held her trunk down. She wasn't going to lose the chairs, and she could head home. You have that feeling for people sometime when you're just like, man, they could use some help. And it feels good to help them. That's how Jesus feels about you and about me. His heart goes, his intestines are moved, his heart is moved. He doesn't stand there with his hands on his hips scolding you for your sin, but he actually has pity and compassion on you, like someone who, because of your sins, needs help, or because of your weakness, needs help, because you're marginalized, needs help, and he wants to, and he loves doing it. Finally, he's present. Jesus loves hanging out in the margins where you and I really are. We don't have to put ourselves in the headlines. As a matter of fact, Jesus loves the margins so much, loves the edges where all the action is not. His target for coming to this earth and his ultimate act of sacrifice and salvation for us was dying on the cross where? In the temple? The city market where everything happened? In the biggest palace in Jerusalem? Where did he die on the cross? Outside the city. In the margins. Where he wants to meet you. Your messes, your mistakes, the bridges you burned and you shouldn't have, the people you left behind and you shouldn't have, the things you said and you shouldn't have, your hopelessness, that's where he meets you. He forgives your sins, shows you his mercy, he's compassionate, and he's present in your life. Finally, Jesus says, tells the healed man, Bartimaeus, go. Go! Jesus is like, I have things for you to do now. He's not embarrassed about him. He enjoys him. Jesus is not embarrassed about you, no matter where you are in your margins. When he comes to heal you and help you and forgive you, you're not an embarrassment anymore. Sure, the blind man was probably going to trip at some point or see the wrong color and say that green was orange instead of green. But that doesn't bother Jesus. Jesus is enjoying watching Bartimaeus jump up and down and walk and even run along a road. And Jesus enjoys you being healed and helped by his mercy too. And he says, go. I have places for you to go and people for you to see. I have connections for you to make. I want you now to show mercy to others, to the marginalized in your life. Go. Showing mercy to the marginalized means you are good. But listen carefully. Receiving mercy from the marginalized and from Jesus means you are better. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the powerful lesson we heard today in this encounter that you had with blind Bartimaeus, who's blind no more. Jesus, heal us of our blindness that can't see your mercy and that can't see the people you want us to show mercy to. And as you heal us with your forgiveness and your love and your compassion, your mercy, your presence, then open our eyes to see how merciful you really are to us and how we can change the world by being merciful to others. And when we do, how they in turn change our world. Jesus, we are so richly blessed. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.